Job chapter 7, as we move along in the book of Job, I'm trying to get through a chapter in you know, two go-arounds. Sometimes we'll be able to get through a chapter in one time through, maybe. And again, I'm not trying to be completely exhaustive, but we do want to make sure you get a little bit extra of understanding, because, again, someone and I were talking just the other day about Job, and a lot of times some commentators or some scholars or some pastors or preachers or whatever, they'll just say, well, you know, Job's all about, you know, this discourse between his friends, and you know, they just go back and forth. You're a sinner. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, you're not. But folks, listen to me. God didn't put these 42 chapters in here for no reason. I better make sure of the number. 41. Yeah, 42 chapters. I was right. they have value. It's not just, oh, well, it's just, you know, oh, chapter 9, it's just the same thing that he said in chapter 6, you know. It's not the same thing. And it's not just, okay, this is their argument and this is their argument. There's some valuable things here. And by the way, don't forget, even secular people consider Job a literary art form, a literary masterpiece. And so don't just discard it. So we're going to take a little time, hopefully not too much time, but if you know what I mean by that, I'm not going to bore you. But we do want to go through, there are some very delightful and interesting things to point out in each of these discourses. All right. So if you'll stand, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God, just a few verses tonight. No, that's not true. A few more than a few. Okay, we're going to go through, I don't think I'm going to make it through verse 16, but I'm going to read through verse maybe 11 or 12. But I'll start in verse 1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? And the night be gone. And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. As we just quickly review, at the end of chapter 6, Job was making a response to his friend Eliphaz. And Eliphaz was condemning Job. He was also condemning and accusing God as well. And Job says, hold on, pal, not so fast. Okay, and that, if you want to catch that definition, it's in the Hebrew. Okay, but Job answered and said, in the beginning of that verse, he said, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly, thoroughly weighed." Okay, I wanted to add an extra R in there, and my calamity laid in the balances together. And so he says, "Look, I'm sorrowful because I'm wounded. The arrows are still in me, man. They haven't even congealed yet. And you're criticizing me about my sorrow." And so he goes on and he talks about his friend, and then he brings all the friends into it, and he condemns them as well, just telling them, "Look, if you teach me, because I know me, so obviously you know better than me, so." Please show me where my faults are and I'll repent. And he just throws it back at him. And then he says at the end of it, he says, look, he says, is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? He's like, have I lost all my senses? Am I just a wicked, vile, evil, hopeless thing? He's like, no, I still have discernment. I still have my understanding about me. So then he goes on asking questions. So at the end of chapter 6, he's asking questions. And by the way, please realize, the chapter and verse divisions are added things for organizational structure. Okay, please understand that. All right, the original manuscripts and stuff don't have chapter and verse headings. All right, those were added for clarity, and that's okay, by the way. All right, there's some that'll criticize that, but it's okay. Now it says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth?" So what's the answer to that? Yes. Yes, there is an appointed time. And it says, he says also, are not his days also like the days of an hireling? All right. Now, what do we know about hirelings? They're temporary type employees, right? Or they can be hired and fired, right? So they have a beginning and an end. I mean, can you fire a son? Not really, right? Yeah. My sons don't get any ideas, because you're not going to get away that easily. All right. Can you fire a worship director? No. No. Okay. You can't. Even if he wants to be fired, he doesn't. But I have to pick on you. It's been week and a half, and I haven't got to pick on you at all. So I got to pick on you extra tonight. No. So he's saying, are these things so? Are these things a definite thing? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. That our days on this earth are limited. He says in verse 2, he says, as a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work. So what is that? What is he saying? He said, there's an ending of the day, right? There's an ending of time. There's something to look forward to at the end of a duration of something. All right. And what is that something? He says, this is my life. This life that I have on this earth, God has been with me, right? He's given me much. And it feels like this is the shadow. This is the ending of things for me. And so Job is expressing his misery. He's showing us about his life. And the length of man's life is limited here. God has set our boundaries. You understand that, what are our boundaries? At one time, God limited man's boundaries to about 120 years, right? And then later on, he's limited man to about what? 70 to 80 years or so. Miss June, God's given you an abundance of years. She's 97, folks. That's a lot. I was just talking with Brother Cecil. Brother Cecil is convinced he's going to make it over 100. And so I said, I'm looking forward to, in about 11 years, celebrating your 100th birthday. He goes, can you find a cake that big? I said, I will find one. I will. And if we have an opportunity to do that. God doesn't promise us much, right? I was just talking with the kids about some conditions in Proverbs 4. What Solomon is talking to his son, he says, look, if you'll embrace these things, if you'll love wisdom, he says, length of days shall she add to thee. I asked him about Ephesians, right? It says, you know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor thy mother, father, right? It goes through all that. And then it says what? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know what? There's conditions to long life. There's conditions to many years on this earth. But they're still limited. We're not going to live forever, right? And we've got to, yes, here on this earth. In heaven we are, right? But that's a separate thing. Now, so we're not governed by fate or luck. If you believe in that, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Okay? We are governed by God. God knows the frame of each one of our lives. He knows before even I was, if you will, even before I was conceived, He knew me. He knew what I was going to be. He knew when I was going to be born, and He knew when I was going to die. He knew if I was going to accept Christ as my Savior or not. So God knew all of that about me before anything. And so you understand that God knows us. We're not governed by these, by just things like this. We are governed by the divine appointment of God. Now, Job goes on to say, he's expressing himself and his grief, but he's talking about durations of things. He's talking about the ending of things. And look at it, look at verse 3. He says, "So am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me." So he says, look, I'm coming to grips with the fact that this is a time of sorrow for me. This is part of my life. And by the way, what is important when someone is grieving? For them to have a time to express their grief. That's important. Instead of saying to them, "Well, you shouldn't be in this kind of a funk, you know? And if you're in this kind of a trouble, it's probably your fault anyway, so you really have no reason to be sorrowful." That's not the right thing to say. Okay? And so he says, "Look, this is my portion, this is my time." And he says, so am I made to possess these months of vanity." And by the way, that kind of gives us an idea of how long this could have been going on. I don't know. Remember I told you that? We don't know how long it took for his friends to come. Because remember, they didn't have the internet back then. They didn't have telephones back then. And just because these were friends of his didn't mean that they lived even in the same state, you know, or area of the country. They could have lived in different areas of the country, possibly. And they could have been quite a distance. And by the way, they all had lives and families and things like that. So we don't know how long Job could have been grieving before they even came. So, but he gives us a clue here. I don't know how many of you have ever seen this before. He gives us a clue. It could have been months. Because he just said, "So am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me." He says, "When I lie down, I say, 'When shall I rise and the night be gone?' And I am full of tossings to and fro until the dawning of the day." So he said he can't sleep, right? He's waiting for the night to be gone and for the day to start again. He says, "My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust." What is that? What is he talking about? He's talking about the boils. He's talking about the ashes. He's talking about the potsherd scrapings and all the stuff that he's had to go through. He's talking about these things. He said, "My skin is broken and become loathsome." He's just speaking reality, folks. He's not in some insane, out of his mind state that Eliphaz is trying to make him out to be, right? You shouldn't be like this. Folks, this is normal stuff. This is stuff that he's going through. It's severe. But it's humanly acceptable for him to grieve like this and to have this kind of an idea. Now, as we look to these ideas that he's talking about, hirelings and servants, we need to realize that we are the servants, if you will, and hirelings, if you will, of God. We are His people, called by His name. Why do you think in the New Testament it says to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Why do you think it says that when we enter into diverse temptations that we should count it all joy? Right? Isn't that what it says? Count it all joy when you enter into diverse temptations. Hey, listen. We're supposed to let patience have her perfect work. We're supposed to be godly in Christ Jesus. And if we're going to do that, what does the Bible tell us about those that will live godly in Christ Jesus? They shall suffer persecutions. And in these last days, what's going to happen? Perilous times, evil men, evil things, but these perilous times are here. The seducers and the evil men, they're going to wax worse and worse. The wolves in sheep's clothing are going to come in worse and worse into the flock. It's going to be worse than it was before. And guess what? Before, it was pretty bad. Hello? I'm just telling you. We have to realize that these things come with being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's okay. Because our God is in control. Our God is the one directing this. It's not fate, and it's not dumb luck, if you will. It's our God. He is the one sustaining us. Now I want you to listen to a few sets of verses here before we close tonight. In Genesis 47, remember we studied this in Sunday school class. When Pharaoh met Jacob, right? Joseph brought him down to Egypt and introduced him to Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked Jacob how old he was. And this was Jacob's answer to Pharaoh. Now I love this answer. It's a great answer. Pharaoh just simply says, "How old art thou?" That's a very plain question, right? Wanting a very plain answer. And here's Jacob's answer. Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Now he could have said period there, right? I mean, he could have just ended it there. "I'm 130 years old, Pharaoh. That's how old I am." Okay, but that's not what he stopped. He didn't stop there. He said, "Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." Now he gives that extra explanation, and the very next sentence it says that Jacob leaves the presence of Pharaoh. I find that comical. I mean, just, huh? he says how old he was, and then he spouts off this negative thing about his life, and then he leaves. I find things like that very interesting. But did you hear what Jacob said? He said that my years, 130, were few years compared to Abraham and Isaac, right? So then he said, and his other ancestors. And then he says, "But they've been few and they've been evil." So it sounds like he's gone through some hardships. By the way, did Jacob go through some hardships? Yes, he did. Okay. Many of them, etc. Psalm 89, David says, "How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah." Now, in closing, we're going to go to Psalm 90, and we're just going to read through this prayer of Moses, the man of God, because we need to realize the comfort that we can receive from being a servant, or if you will, a hireling. There's a duration of time. But we're under the care of Almighty God for this duration of time. So Jacob's life may have been few years and evil days. That may be true. David says, "How long, Lord, are you going to hide yourself from me?" By the way, did God hide himself from David his whole life? No. No, he didn't. And by the way, has Job been deserted by God his whole existence? No. As best we can tell, maybe a couple of months. Maybe. Or maybe a month. We don't know exactly. So we've got to realize that things like this are not the end. Even though it seems like they're the end. Because what does Job say? He says, my days are swifter. He says, I'm looking for the nights to go away and the next day to come. And it's all vanity and weariness. By the way, I don't have time tonight, but I could read to you from Ecclesiastes. The whole of chapter 6 talks about just the vanity of life.
and how it's just so fleeting and just so, if you will, worthless. But it's not. We've got to realize that there is a purpose because we are the servants of God. Are you there in Psalm 90? Listen to this prayer, or look at it with me. The prayer of Moses, the man of God. Moses says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight but are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. By the way, before that statement, did this all seem pretty negative? What Moses is saying? Yes. So he says now, Lord, in light of all this difficulty, in light of all this trouble, in light of all this vanity and sorrow and all of these things, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. And I love this. Listen to this. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Now, this doesn't sound at all like what was written in the middle part of this. And then he says, And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Now listen, we can have human feelings and emotions. We are hirelings. We are the servants of God. There are times where we cannot sleep and we're tossing to and fro until the dawning of the day. Our flesh may be clothed with worms and clods of dust. Our skin is broken and become loathsome. Our days are swifter than the weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. We're just looking for the shadow of life to be over, this vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. But it's spent in the service of God. And we've got to remember, as Moses said, that's a beautiful thing. You say, Pastor, you're saying that sorrow and grief is beautiful? It is when it's in the service of God. What does God say about the death of his saints? It's precious. That's an odd thing to say, right? God considers the death of his saints precious? Yes. Yes, he does. Because is this life sojourning here on this earth what's really important? No, it's life in heaven afterwards is what's important. We have something to look forward to. By the way, I'm glad Job used that phrase. The hireling is looking for what? The reward. The reward at the end of the day. James says, Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, and this is what Job ought to have said, right? If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Folks, we know we should rejoice in our Lord, our God. The time that he's given here on this earth, by the way, the good and the bad, the trials and the triumphs. We are servants of God. We're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so as Job continues, he says this, therefore, in verse 11, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. So what is Job saying here? I know what's right, but right now, I want to complain. Have any of you ever felt that way before? Huh? Yeah. And you're like, you know what? I don't want to be okay. I don't want to remember that God is my everything. I'm mad. I want to vent a little bit here. And that's kind of his attitude, right? We need to make sure we're more like what Moses ended up with. We're more like what James says we're supposed to do. We're supposed to put this in the hands of God. And even David, as he would often, many times, go on rants, he would usually end up saying, my hope is in my God. My trust is in my God. My refuge and my strength is in my God. And by the way, Job comes to that conclusion eventually here. But you need to realize that these things are real life things that are happening to a man. And he knows what's going on, but this has hit him very hard. We need to remember in our hardest times that our God is over all and that he is in all these things.